focus on fear and sex. Please give a warm welcome to Emily R. from Sonoma, California.
Thanks, Kirk. Wow, that got here fast. Thanks for everybody who just handles all the technological stuff. It seems like you just have a very well-organized deal here, and I appreciate all your hard work because I know nothing about tech or just anything of the sort. I am pretty stinking nervous, but I did my prayers. I did my little meditation time with myself. And here we are. So when Senna asked me, I'm like, oh, yeah, thank you. It's an honor and a privilege. But inside, you know, like freaking out. And I'm like, yeah, and it's on my birthday. So that's cool. You know, Friday the 13th, happy Friday the 13th, everyone. So, you know, and she's a good AA, Senna, because she checked with me like 3 times. And I'm like, you never have to worry about me forgetting. I'm too nervous, you know. So, but anyhoot. So more specific shares like this, I struggle with. I just don't have like an order of the way that I prepare for them. Should I do the research? You know, should I rely on my experience? So there's like some insecurity there. You know, we read this book more than any other book in our lives, you know, and the 12 and 12 as well. And, you know, I've tried to prepare for one before, and it was a crapshoot. You know, I tried to study, take notes, do note cards, and I guess that just didn't work for me. So I was born on the East Coast. I moved to California about 4 years ago. So I got sober in a town called Newcastle, Pennsylvania. I was in a halfway house with 18 other women, and you know, it was a miracle when I stayed sober for 30 days. So I was trying to just stay in the middle of the program and do everything that was asked within the program, and listen to older members and trust them and work on my relationship with God. And then we got to the fourth step, my sponsor and I. And, you know, I don't remember feeling any fear or just like, I can't do this. I'm baffled. You know, I won't be able to go through with this. I was like, okay, let's recover. This is where it's going to be. So, started writing that fourth step, and, you know, I bring it to my sponsor, this inventory, and, you know, God love her, because I just was still, you know, a little delusional at the time, though trying my best, reading, studying, attending all the groups within treatment, all these things, you know, but my fourth step was all about everybody else. I'm like, she's going to see what a victim I am. She's going to feel so sorry for me. And, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. So that was my first fourth step. She was so sweet and so kind, and I understood. I never felt attacked by her responses. But I understood while we were going back and forth, like, hey, I did this wrong. And I didn't even share it, and she didn't share that with me, but I'm like, I understand what we're doing here. And I understand through my mistake, you know. So after that, so the only fear that I experienced in that was there was some honesty in there. And just when I was about to tell her why I did those things, it's not easy to tell someone I was jealous or I was full of fear, you know, or, you know, I felt inadequate. So that was the only time I felt like, oh, should I withhold this? You know. So I felt a huge burden, you know, just with that little bit of honesty. It was lifted, you know, and then she gives me these a little like cozy thing, and she's like, well, I'm going upstairs. You hang out for an hour. You just hang out for an hour, and you know, thank God for getting you through this experience. And you know, like the book tells us, for an hour, sit with him afterwards and thank God that we know him better. And what happened was, is I knew Emily better, and I accepted Emily more, and I found the power more. I had this little relationship with God, but it was deepened through that experience, because I realized that this power of God, but a lot of it was living within me the whole time. And in that hour sitting in her living room while she's upstairs, which was a weird experience at first, I'm like, where are you going? I see her walking up the stairs upstairs. I'm like, what? You know, and that's what I found in that alone time after that fifth step. And the fear and the sex part. So when Senna told me what this was on too in her initial text, and I had all those feelings at the same time, I'm like, and I also feel personally attacked here. But that's just a joke. So we'd hardly be human if we didn't have problems with sex. And you know, it tells us in the book to, you know, we take stock of these, we look at them, were they selfish or not? You know, 9 times out of 10 they were. And then we ask God, hey, come in here, shape my ideals. Shape it for the future for me. How do I have to imagine it first. With if anybody starts a business, if anybody, you know, creates a piece of art, like, you imagine it first. So I imagine this ideal for my sex life, for, you know, the rest of my life. And I ask God to shape it for me and help me fine tune that. So that was pretty crazy. I thought that was very helpful. And if we find it more troublesome, I was 21 when I got sober. So I, you know, had a lot of hormones. And, you know, and if we find it still troublesome, you know, we throw ourselves into helping others, then we distract ourselves from it, you know, and then you might get this little girl, you know, with some sex problems herself. And you're telling her these things that are working for you, and then, hey, you better be working on them. You know, it's just how it works. And the fear part, I mean, when you take that inventory and you write everything down and what it affects, you know, it has fear bracketed along all parts of those disturbances. So, like, I kind of feel like it could just be fear and self-centeredness, selfishness, like, only, like, it doesn't even need to be security, because that's fear. It doesn't even need to be self-confidence, because that's fear, or whatever. They're all fear. So I also learned that with the fear and the sex, like they tend to run rampant. They go, and so they're God-given instincts, you know, so I shouldn't loathe them. I shouldn't despise them. They were God-given, and I just need to ask God to help me just fine-tune those a little bit. Just let me get that in perspective. Sure, I need fear instilled in me. You know, I can't walk out into oncoming traffic. And yes, I need sex instincts so we can procreate, you know, as human beings. So yeah, that those things needed an overhauling, like the book says. And instead of just feeling so much shame about all these things, like after I would share them and discuss with others whom I trusted in the program, like I realized like I ain't that different, you know? It's just not that significant. And there's nothing anybody could write in these fourth steps, honestly. Like I thought about this a lot. That's just like, oh my God. Like there's just, if you listen to a couple of them, you heard them all. And if you wrote your own, you've heard them all. Like it's nothing, you know, but we listen, you know, we listen in those fifths, and it's it loses its power with you, you know. Because it's only powerful when it's on this hamster wheel in your head. And I remember calling my sponsor preparing for my fourth step, and I'm like, well, do I need to write down like every time I was ever upset? She's like, no, just what you got rolling around in that head of yours. Because I'm like thinking, oh, that girl stole my toy in second grade that one time. I was so mad and like haven't thought about it since. But since I'm trying to reflect to do this inventory, I just thought about that. And it's like, no, just that hamster wheel up front and center in that brain. Yeah, I just liked one line in here about the fear stuff. Page 68, all men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. Instead, we let him demonstrate through us what he can do. We ask him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be. Not what he'd have us do, but who exactly he would have us be in this world. You know, and I think, and then it just continues that once we commence to outgrow fear. Now, I used to get a lot of comfort from that second line, that once we commence to outgrow fear. Like before this, I was full of fear, and at once I commenced to outgrow this. You know, let me show up. But as my life has gone on and I've developed as a woman and human being and a mother and a wife, you know, there was times where I'm like, who am I? Who even am I? You know, I'm this member of AA, but who am I? What makes me me? And it's like, I don't even have to worry about that. Direct our attention to who he would have us be. I don't have to worry about who I am. I'm going to direct my attention to who God would have me be. And that was like such a weight on my shoulders. Like, God, who do you want me to be? I don't have to try to pick and choose what parts of me I'm going to keep. You decide. And I don't know why it chokes me up. Probably because I put a lot of pressure on myself, maybe about that. And it calls fear this evil, corroding thread. And that's exactly what it is that tears away the fabric of my existence. So if I allow God to show me and teach me who I'm going to be, allow him to decide it. I don't have to let this fear corrode my existence here on earth. I don't got to live in fear and be this con because the fear I usually go to control. That's my little defect off the shelf. Emily feels scared. She tries to control it. I see this timer here, and you know, I don't have anything else to say. Thank you guys so much, Senna. Thank you so much for helping me stay sober by giving me this opportunity, and thanks everyone for being here.
AA has no dues or fees for a membership, but we do have expenses. The seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside.